This episode from the life of Sherlock Holmes will be transmitted to our men and women overseas by shortwave and through the worldwide facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. Petri Wine brings you Basil Rathbone and Nigel Bruce in the new adventures of Sherlock Holmes. The Petri family, the family that took time to bring you good wine, invite you to listen to Dr. Watson tell us another exciting adventure he shared with his good friend, that master detective, Sherlock Holmes. And if you ask me, the best way to listen to that story is to do it with a glass of port wine right handy. Petri California Port. No kidding, that Petri Port is just swell for any time good friends get together to talk things over. You couldn't ask for a more delicious wine. Why, just looking at the deep, rich red color of that Petri Port tells you that here's a wine with a flavor that comes right from the heart of sun-ripened grapes. If you haven't ever tried Petri Port, why not get a bottle and have a glass after dinner tomorrow night? It's a perfect after-dinner wine, you know. And share that port with your family and your friends. Don't forget, when you serve Petri Port, you can serve it proudly. Because after all, the name Petri is the proudest name in the history of American wines. And now let's keep our weekly appointment. Good evening, Dr. Watson.
Good evening, Mr. Bartell. Draw up a chair.
Thank you.
That's it. By the way, do you know what date it is?
November 5th, isn't it?
That's right. In England, it's known as Guy Fawkes Day. Have you ever heard of it?
It's something to do with a gunpowder plot, isn't it?
Yes, Mr. Bartell, it is. And as Sherlock Holmes and I had a very unusual adventure on the 5th of November many years ago, it seems appropriate that I should tell you about it tonight. Before I begin, I think it might help you to appreciate the true flavor of the story if I tell you a little about the origin and the customs of Guy Fawkes Day.
Swell idea, Dr. Watson.
Well, my boy, on November the 5th, 1605, exactly 340 years ago today, King James I was about to attend the opening of Parliament when a plot was discovered to blow up the House of Lords during the ceremony.
And the chief conspirator was Guy Fawkes, I suppose?
Yes, he was. He was captured in a vault immediately below the House of Lords, a vault full of barrels of gunpowder. Of course, he and his fellow conspirators were executed. And ever since then, November the 5th has been known as Guy Fawkes Day.
Well, how's it celebrated, Doctor?
Well, it's a great time for the youngsters, Mr. Bartell. They black their faces, throng the streets, begging for pennies, and build bonfires in which to burn effigies of Guy Fawkes. These effigies are life-size dummies, stuffed with straw and dressed in old clothes. The children parade them in the streets, chanting rhymes. Well, now, let me see. Please to remember the 5th of November. Guy Fawkes, Guy, hit him in the eye.
The kids must have quite a time. Sort of like Halloween, aren't I?
Yes, not unlike it, my boy. Well, now that I've told you something about the customs of Guy Fawkes Day, I'll get on with my story. It began just before lunch, I remember, on November the 5th, 1899. The day was foggy and cold, and Holmes and I were seated each side of a blazing fire in our Baker Street rooms. From outside, we could hear the sound of voices laughing and singing. Suddenly, Holmes rose and crossed to the window, opened it, and looked out. Then he turned to me and spoke.
Children having a great time, Watson, aren't they?
Yes, it cost me a shilling worth of pennies to walk here this morning.
Has it occurred to you, Watson, that the gunpowder plot offers very promising material to the speculative mind?
In what way, Holmes? I say it's confoundedly chilly in here. Don't you think you might shut that window?
Sorry, old chap. As I was saying, the gunpowder plot offers very promising material to the speculative mind. I made something of a study of the historical records of the case. There is more than a little evidence to suggest that King James was never in any real danger.
Never in any danger? Well, what makes you say that?
Knowledge of the proposed dastardly scheme came to light early. That James Stuart, King of England, the possessor of a shrewd and diabolical mind, used the spectacular discovery of the plot to try and bolster his waning popularity, as well as to justify increased religious persecutions.
Well, that's the first I've heard of it, Holmes.
I dare say, old fellow, but it's true just the same. I'm afraid James Stuart, King of England, was an unscrupulous tyrant. Come in. Oh, yes, Mrs. Hudson?
There is a gentleman to see you, Mr. Holmes. He said it was very important, and he asked me to give you his card.
Oh, thank you, Mrs. Hudson. Oh, ask him to come up, please, will you?
Aye, sir.
Who is it, Holmes?
A gentleman with a remarkably fine sense of timing. Read his card for yourself.
Let's have a look. Mr. James Stewart. Great Scott, that's an extraordinary coincidence that he should arrive just as we're talking about James Stewart, King of England.
Come in.
Mr. James Stewart.
How do you do, Mr. Stewart? My name is Sherlock Holmes, and this is my colleague, Dr. Watson.
How do you do, sir? How do you do?
Mr. Holmes, you've got to help me. I'm walking about in mortal fear of my life. You've got to help me.
Mr. Stewart, I suggest that you sit down. I'll do anything in my power to help you, but you must compose yourself first and tell me quietly what it is that's frightening you.
How can I compose myself when I may be dead within a few hours?
No, Mr. Stewart. I'm a doctor. I really think if I were to give you a sedative that you'd find...
How can you talk of sedatives when I... My heart. Doctor! My heart.
All right. Now, here, let me help you into this sofa. There you are now.
Imagine that brandy would be normal.
Yes, Holmes, and I'll give him some digitalis. A fellow with a bad heart like this shouldn't allow himself to get so excited.
Here you are, Mr. Stewart. Drink this.
That's it. And now this, Mr. Stewart.
What is it?
It's digitalis.
Very well.
Yeah, now. Feel better, sir?
Yes, Mr. Holmes. Yes, I do. You're right. I shouldn't get so excited. My heart can't stand it, you know.
Watson, is he well enough to talk, do you think?
Yes, if he doesn't excite himself again.
I'll be careful, Doctor. I'll take it quietly. Mr. Holmes, when you saw my card just now, did it strike any response of court?
Naturally, sir. Who could fail to be intrigued when a James Stewart calls to see one on Guy Fawkes Day?
It isn't just coincidence that my name is James Stewart. I've got royal blood in my veins. People know of it. And that's another reason they're out to kill me. They're jealous of my heritage. Every instinct I have is a royal one. Now, you gentlemen know that falconry is a king's sport. And my greatest hobby is the breeding and the training of falcons.
Mr. Stewart, please. Mr. Stewart, owing to the state of your health, I suggest that you be as economical as possible in your explanation. In fact, I think it might be better if I were to question you.
Very well, Mr. Holmes.
Now, you say that your life is in danger. What evidence do you have to substantiate that claim?
My cousin, Guy Falconby, has threatened it. You see, Mr. Holmes, he and I are the only heirs to a wealthy uncle. His fortune will go to the surviving heir. If I were dead, Guy would inherit everything.
Seems to me, Mr. Stewart, that you should have applied to Scotland Yard for protection.
I did, Dr. Watson. Only a few days ago I saw a certain inspector, Lestrade, I think his name was, and he laughed at my fears.
Oh, Lestrade. And he laughed, did he? Well, then in that case, there may be something in your story, sir. You say that your cousin has threatened to kill you. Has he indicated the method he intends to employ?
He has. And it's a devilish plot. Guy has a bitter, twisted sense of humor, gentlemen, even when he's planning as dastardly a thing as a murder. I am James Stewart. He is Guy Falconby, which is near enough to Guy Fawkes. Today is the 5th of November, and he's planning to blow me up.
Oh, come, sir. You can't expect us to believe that.
But it's true. He warned me. And the celebrations that are going on in the streets of London today would make a rare cloak for his activities.
I must confess, Mr. Stewart, that I find your story most unconvincing. All your evidence appears to depend on conversations held between you and this cousin of yours. You have no facts, sir, to substantiate your claims.
But I have.
Then please let us hear them.
I live at 23 Cavendish Square. A week ago, the house next door to me was let to a new tenant. Almost immediately, workmen became very active there. They were digging in the cellars, Mr. Holmes. I could hear the sounds of picks and shovels through the walls.
Digging in the cellars? That does sound significant, doesn't it, Holmes?
Extremely. Did you observe any other activities of the workmen, Mr. Stewart?
Mr. Holmes. Vans have been delivering large packing cases to the basement during the last 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
I know what's in them, too. It's gunpowder. I tell you, they're planning to blow me up today.
No. Steady. You mustn't excite yourself again.
What shall I do, Mr. Holmes?
I think, sir, it would be better for you to rest here for a while and then go to a nearby hotel. I would suggest the Shaftesbury. And wait there until you hear from us.
And where are you gentlemen going?
Watson and I, after donning suit of disguises, will visit the house adjoining yours in Cavendish Square. I think an examination of the cellar there might prove most illuminating.
This must be the house, all right, Holmes. The empty packing cases are still by the foot of the basement steps.
Come on, Watson. Let's go down and explore.
Poor Upon my soul, I feel a little self-conscious in these clothes.
No need to, my dear chap. You look a most authentic inspector of plumbing.
Well,
if anyone challenges us, you'd better let me do the talking, though. I think my accent might be a little more convincing. Shh. Listen.
I can't hear anything.
Exactly.